Hey, fellas. You're going to make me balance it out. All right, I like it. We're going to be going into Ephesians today, Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And let's go ahead and pray. Father, we thank you for being good to us today. We're grateful for our salvation, your love, your grace, and your mercy. And Lord, allow our hearts and minds to be focused on you. And many times, we can kind of get confused. Maybe not necessarily this group in here, Lord, but overall, Christianity can be confused with misunderstanding unity for uniformity. And Lord, allow our hearts and minds to be open to your leading. Conform us into your image, that we may best honor and glorify you. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. So that's our pressure today, the pressure to misunderstand unity for uniformity. And there is a difference, correct? And I don't know about you, but I have heard before someone has come to me, and they already have, they're already angry. They're not angry at me. Something's already going on in their life. Something negative happened to them. Something bad happened to them. So knowing that, when someone walks towards me and says a comment along the lines of, well, I don't believe in organized religion. Right? Has anybody ever heard that? I don't believe in organized religion. I'll say, are you kidding? That's sad. Well, I just don't believe. I said, well, hold on. Biblically, James chapter 1 tells us what pure religion is before God. It's we take care of the widows, the fatherless, and we remain unspotted from the world. I said, you don't believe in groups organized to take care of widows and fatherless? That's pretty messed up. Well, no, that's not what I mean. Well, that's exactly what you said. I don't believe in organized religion. I don't believe in organizing in a religious way to take care of widows. Oh, so you misunderstood the Bible, or you don't know your Bible, right? So they like to use that as like ammunition to start a fight when you don't even know what you're saying, right? They haven't studied it out. They never grabbed their Bible, their Strong's Concordance, and looked up everywhere where the word religion is at, right? To see what does the Bible even say about religion, right? So things like that, misunderstanding, uniformity. So we're going to look at that here in Ephesians chapter 4. Paul speaking here, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, exhort you, the believers there at Ephesus, to walk. That's the key in the second half of Ephesians is the word walk. In a manner worthy of the calling which you were called. Now that is, in and of itself right there, is huge, right? To walk in a manner worthy of your calling. And I think many times, again, we misunderstand living a righteous, godly life for not wanting to offend someone else, right? So my thought many times when I look at the society or the world that, okay, I want to befriend them. I want to be nice. I want to, listen, if you just focus on Jesus, those things will come supernaturally. That's who God is. So if I want to be nice, there's no one nicer than Jesus, right? If I want to be loving, there's no one more loving than Christ. If I want to be, you know, have character, someone has more character than God. So when I focus on the right fixed mark, I press towards the mark of the high prize of the calling of God, what Paul says in Philippians, I believe, I'm already fixed on the perfect, on God. So these things will supernaturally be a byproduct of that. So this word walk comes in. So verse 2, so this walk is going to show some things, and again, it has to do with unity, right? Bringing together everyone together in a local group. Doesn't matter if it's outside, inside, no matter what group. When a body of born again believers, not we got to be careful. The body is all saved people, correct? Now, do unsaved people come in? Yeah, they do, right? But are they part of the body? No, they're not yet. And that's okay that we distinguish that. Okay? It's nothing rude or unkind towards unsaved people. They're not a part of the body yet. That's the goal, is to get them a part of the body. Amen? That's the goal. So they might be here physically, but if they don't know Christ as a personal Savior, they're not a part of the body. What they do here doesn't matter. They can't give anything. Right? There's no gifts to be given because they don't have the Holy Spirit in them yet. So as born-again believers come together, okay, we have an understanding and a mindset on, okay, when I come to this local gathering, I am on my own choosing to, we're going to look at some things here, but mainly unify the body to exalt Christ, right? In whatever shape, way, shape, or form. That means I have to die to myself. My first thought can't be, I'm coming to the body to get help. My first thought is, I'm coming to the body to give help, to allow Christ to work through me to help someone. Now, if there's a need or prayer request that we have, we obviously give it, right? But it's not my first priority. You see that? My first priority isn't self. It's selfless. Okay, so we'll get to that here in a second. So verse 2, so this walking in a manner worthy of the Lord, in which we are called, verse 2, with all humility, okay, or lowliness, okay? It's modesty. It has to do with the mind, really, in the Greek. It's a mindset of being humble, of being lowly. Okay, it's a mindset, because our heart's here, right? This is our heart, what we're fixed on, what we're focused on. So again, as in order for me to be used of God, to have uniformity and unity, okay, I like both those words, actually. I love uniforms. But to have unity, I'm focused on my mindset on being humble, okay? When I hear something that I don't agree with, I don't need to bark back right away, right? I am having discernment. I am taking into account the person that's talking to me. Obviously, I'm gonna be calm and I'm gonna listen and go, okay, what's their background? Do I know their background? Do I not know their background? What's happening in their life right now? What's going on? You know, I have a humble mind, right? So as they're talking, I'm not going, oh man, this guy's way out in left field. This gal, you know, she's not even close to the scriptural truth. That's okay. That's not a bad thing, right? We all start somewhere. We all start at the bottom, correct? When we get saved. We all don't know it all. So going, okay, I'm having discernment here. I'm having a humble mind. What they're saying isn't true, but what better place to be in to learn something that's not true to learn something that is true, right? What better place than right here in the local body? Okay, so as a mature believer, I have a humble mind. Okay, I'm lowly. I have a humble mind. The next thing is meekness. That in the Greek, the word right next to that means gentle. Okay? It's gentleness. Meek is being gentle. Okay? Again, baby Christians or people that, you know, maybe if it's a mature believer that's just kind of going through a tough time, we're going to be gentle with them. Right? It's so opposite of how the army is. They're not humble. They're not meek. You know, it's a different kind of scenario there. But the Lord's army is different, right? We're looking at a long-term investment with the goal to unify God's body, who He is the head, right? That's on my mind. That's the focus, okay? That's what I'm looking at. I'm not looking at a program or a system or a place where, you know, when we look at a church, and this is a young believer's mindset, especially my age group and younger, on what are you providing for me, right? Do you provide the children's ministry? Do you have a teen ministry? Do you have an adult group, a men's group, a ladies group? You know, the God's body isn't designed to benefit you selfishly. It's designed for you to come to the body and allow the Lord to use you to edify it. Does that make sense? Yeah, it's a totally different concept, right? Now, am I against programs? No. Am I against youth ministries? Absolutely not. But what's our heart mindset going into it? See that? What is it going in? Is it the prime product or a byproduct? Okay, so being gentle, we have patience here. Having patience, bearing with one another in love. So again, I'm seeking other people's needs. Okay, I'm going to be a burden bearer. Galatians 5 talks about that. It's either 5 or 6. I think it's 6, actually. Galatians 6, talking about being a burden bearer. Someone else's problems I'm taking personally. Okay, I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to do what I can to help them. We see here in verse number 3, which I think is overlooked, be eager to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That word eager there, or endeavor, same word, to make effort, be prompt, be diligent, labor, study. So it's an active, okay? I'm actively seeking, I'm eager, I'm excited and actively looking forward to bringing unity and not dissension. Not dissension. Have you ever been around someone? And when you get around them, they just like to make like these, just like these little sly remarks at you. They kind of just dig at you, right? To like manipulate or to be, what's the word I'm looking for? Not manipulate, but what's that? Be superior? Yeah, just kind of dig at you, right? It's like they're trying to prompt a fight or an argument or like put you in your place or, you know, try and get like, you know, trying to get a buttonhole. Yeah, gotcha. You know, you're being around people like that. It's like, man, what are you? Okay. Because you know a spirit, right? You know a spirit. You know what times it happened to me in church? When someone will try and talk to me and be like, oh, bink. It's like, oh. Again, I'm stopping. I'm understanding where they're at, what's happening in their life, what's going on around them. Going, that wasn't to cause unity. You're upset and angry at something. And what better person to take it out on than me? Right? What better person? There's no one better than the pastor of the church. Gotcha. That's a red flag to me to tell me, that tells me I need to pray for you. I'm going to love on you even more. The goal of you trying to cause dissension, all that did was make me want to run up and hug you. It backfired. You know what I mean? Backfired. Just trying to be malicious. That's what I'm looking for. Kind of malicious and sneaky, conniving, you know, to dig at you, to cause dissension. Just that little thing, right? They're not focused on Jesus Christ and being eager, studying, being diligent, okay, excited about bringing unity when they're coming to the body. They have a problem and they want to kind of get you. So this group right here is a mature group. So just be aware of that when someone comes in that talks to you. Again, I'm taking the whole scenario, okay? Taking the whole thing in. Now people, the whole point of this is people misunderstanding unity for uniformity. Again, they're looking for systems. They're looking for structure. It's easy for the world to creep in, right? I mean, we see it over and over again. Paul dealt with false teachers coming in to set up their uniformity, to set up their structure. At Corinth, what was the problem? Why I'm Apollos? Why I'm Paul? Why I'm Peter? They were unifying themselves under a man. And Paul's like, what are you doing? Christ is the head. You're all the body. You all have a purpose. Okay? Then he goes on down here. There is one body, one spirit. Even as you are called in one hope of your calling, which is the return of Christ, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. For me personally, I believe that baptism is baptism when you get saved, the Holy Spirit baptizing you. Does that make sense? That's what I believe. I don't believe it's believers' baptism in water. That's just me. Okay? Let's see. One baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So he's encompassing Jesus Christ, God the Father, is in everyone. So that's our mindset. I'm coming forward. I'm not looking at me as an individual wanting to stand out, right? I'm not wanting to stand out and be different. We hear that a lot, and I think it's taken out of context on, well, you should be different. No, you should be like Jesus. You should be like someone. That's what renewing our mind is. I'm renewing my mind to be like Jesus, to be like Christ, to allow Christ to flow through me. That's what I want to be like. When someone sees me, I want them to see Jesus. I don't want to be different. I want to be like Jesus. Does that make sense? Yeah. Now, I know people will say it different from the world and different, which I get that. But all right, but grace was given to each one of us. Isn't the heater on right now? Man, are you guys warm? I'm warm. Dang. We'll have to turn that down, brother, here in a little bit. Okay, moving on down here. Grace was given each one of us according to the measure of the gift of Christ. And again, we talked about this already before in past lessons and sermons. When Christ died, he went down to the center of the earth. again, the center of the earth, there is hell. Now, it's not saying he went to the burning hell. He went to where Abraham's bosom was. So if people ask you, hey, where do people go when they died before the ascension of Christ? They went to the center of the earth, right? They went down. They weren't allowed to go to heaven yet. When Christ died, he went down, he got them, he led captivity captive, and boom, they all went up there with him. Okay? Now, we'll get into verse number 9. And saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he also descended? Again, we'll skip over that. Here's the purpose. Verse 11, he gave some to be apostles and prophets and evangelists, pastors and teachers. For what purpose? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, and for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God into a complete man, to the measure and the stature and fullness of Christ. So, that will never stop, right? It's not saying that you will always strive and never achieve it. It's saying that when you achieve the full stature and completeness in Christ, like that's the goal. When you get there, you maintain it. So it's not something that you can never attain, right? When you attain this complete stature and fullness of Christ, here's what you do moving forward. It's like a factory being built. Okay, so in the factory, you have the building stage is correct. Once the factory is built and you have the workers in there, production starts, right? There's a time when there's no more building, correct? It's we're pumping out the product, correct? We're pumping out the product. Now, are there times when new employees come in? Some quit, some leave, some transfer, new people come in. Requires more training, right? There's training classes. Man, there is a huge powerhouse. Where we're from in Tri-City, it's called ConAgra Foods in Lamb Weston. Okay, have you ever heard of them? They do potatoes mainly. They do all kinds of vegetables, mainly potatoes. It's a huge 24-hour factory, massive, right? So they're the processing center, ConAgra Foods, but they also hook up with freezer storages. And these freezer storages, I worked in one, cold storage, Columbia Cold Storage. They're huge, like 300 yards by 100 yards. They're just a massive freezer, right? So it takes other people involved to see this factory work, right? They're extension ministries, if you will. So when we come to this complete stature, we're doing what we need to do to make this body healthy. Here's what we're going to see, and here's why we're doing it. Okay, verse 15. Let's see. Nope, not true. Well, where am I at? Yeah, thank you. 14. So we may no longer be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about every wind of doctrine, by trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. I will understand doctrine. Okay? The solid foundational teaching we'll never get away from. Okay? Never. So our gifts are being given. We're understanding, hey, you know, this isn't some kind of country club. This is a body, a living organism to come and to bring a gift to unify. I'm excited to be used of God to unify so that me being used of God, okay, when we're a complete man in Christ and we're walking forward, doing what we're supposed to be doing, pumping out the product of other Christians, we can see false doctrine. Someone's not going to come into this building and say, oh, well, I believe this. Hey, you know what? It's a free country. We don't agree, right? We don't agree. But we'll all know. We'll all go, that's not true. That's not true. So it takes gifts given and the Word of God through the Holy Spirit. Takes a lot, doesn't it? Takes a lot. To produce body of believers that represent Christ. And we have to guard our hearts and minds from a business model. This is not a business. Okay, we're a body. Now, am I against business model principles? No, I'm not against them. But they're not the end-all be-all. If a business model, who its sole purpose is to make money, right? You don't start a business to lose money, do you? No, it's okay to start a business, right? I'm not against starting businesses. But we're not here to produce money. We're not here to make money. You'll know if a pastor has a business model when they talk about money. And giving money. And giving money and giving money. We're worried about money. That's a business model. We're not worried about money. We're worried about producing other Christians. So when we have that, we won't be tossed around with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men, number one. Okay, by craftiness, number two, and deceitful scheming. So people will be purposefully trying to put on us their beliefs and cause problems. Okay? Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love. Now, what does unconditional love look like? Right, speaking truth, right? Yep, righteously, sacrificially, okay? Now, for me personally, this is just me personally. When Paul says that I did not withhold the whole counsel of God, I don't think he's meaning all the Old Testament. He's the apostle of the Gentiles. I believe God revealed truths to him, the mystery of the will of God and Christ in us. I believe it's those things that God gave Paul. He didn't hold back, right? There's very little of Paul bringing out the Old Testament. If it is, it's a few things here and there to prove Christ is the Messiah. He really didn't go into the Old Testament a whole lot, did he? Now, am I against teaching Old Testament? No way. We teach it, right? There's times when we teach it. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But when Paul's saying, listen, I didn't hold back what God told me in Arabia. What God spoke to my heart, I gave it all out. Okay? That's love. I'm not looking at someone going, man, I don't want to offend them. I'm more concerned about speaking them truth and love, right? Which is going to prompt me to tell them, rather than have a relationship with them. I don't think that you can properly have a relationship with someone and hold back salvation by grace through faith. What kind of relationship is that? I'm holding back salvation. Now, if I say I'm their friend and I'm concerned about a relationship with them, I cannot have a proper relationship unless they're born again, first of all. Right? I cannot properly have that. So I'm gonna witness them and see them saved. I know the number one need is salvation. Now again, Christians who are in sin, they're just young, they're ignorant, they might have other issues while they're in sin. We're going to come alongside them and build them up so they become more like Christ. You see how this is all working together? Okay? Okay, speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ himself, from whom the whole body is joined together and connected by every joint and ligament, as every part effectively does its work and grows. Stop right there. Every part. Underline. I have to effectively work and grow. If I'm not myself as an individual on my own time purposely growing, I cannot come to the body and help it grow. I can't do it. I'm stuck. Okay? I'm stuck. Now, other times you're not going to grow leaps and bounds. Absolutely. There comes a point when you mature and you don't necessarily plateau, but you study things differently, right? You look for different kind of growth, right? So when I learn salvation by grace through faith, I understand that concept. What does that involve? Well, the word justification is linked to that. Okay, what does justification mean? When does that happen, right? Well, the word sanctification. Okay, well, what does that mean? So you start branching off from the foundational doctrine. As you plateau, you start branching off. Does that make sense what I'm saying? You look at things differently, a little bit more in depth. Okay, you start digging deeper and digging deeper. So everybody has to work and grow, building itself up in what? Love. Love. I believe whenever you see love, it's attached with me dying to myself, reaching out to you to help you. I'm not looking at your past, at who you are in a community, at how, oh man, you know, this person here, this person there. No. As soon as you are part of this body, I view you as Christ views you. Well, I should always do that, right? Whether you're saved or not saved. But it changes. To where now, I'm looking at people as children of God, me coming alongside them and building them up, building this body up to where Christ is the head, unifying ourselves in love up to him. Does that make sense what I'm saying? All right. So we're not being uniform like a business model. We're not unifying under Jesse or the way, church way. although it's a biblical way. We're identifying ourselves as born again believers. Any questions so far? I kind of gave you a lot right there. Any thoughts? Go ahead, Julie. Hey, your growth is stunted. This is what I believe. You're not growing as God desires you to grow. So you'll see, like, look at Corinth, right? They weren't growing like they should, right? There was problems. There were issues going on. Like, they stalled out. And I believe the Holy Spirit turns more inwardly on you to get you correct before it really pushes you to start helping someone else. Make sense? Okay. So yeah, we just can't grow like we should. Okay, the ministries that maybe God desires for us to have, they're not there. Or, you know, whatever. What's that? Or according to Ephesians 4, there can be a point to where you attain that. But then you keep going forward with it. So you don't stop, you keep going, right? Yes, absolutely. That's a great point. Really good point. So there'll come a time as I grow in the Lord, as I mature, I'll be a mature believer. So it'll be different than always struggling. I won't always struggle. I won't be struggling with anything. I'll be a mature believer in Christ, and when circumstances come, I'll know how to adapt and overcome, right? Now, will I commit sin? Yes, 1 John 1:9. We confess that sin. But we're no longer struggling with a sin. You guys see the difference? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, good point. I like that. Thanks, Johnny. Yeah. Great question. So how do we get people on the peripheral, on the fence, if you will, on the outside, to be effectively working? Number one, I do what I can to encourage them, right? I go out of my way to build them up and explain to them why it's important to be in the body, what the purpose even is. If I don't understand that myself, I can't honestly explain to someone what I don't even know myself, right? So when I say you should come to church, well, why? To worship God. I don't need to worship God. I can worship God here. You're right. You don't come to church to worship. There's no worship here. We're not bowing down. Okay? So what's the purpose of even coming here? So explain to them what the purpose is, and going out of your way, explaining, encouraging, being excited yourself. But at some point, they have to desire it too. So understanding, do they even want this for themselves? And so that's where my personal opinion on the seeds and the sower, okay, when we see on stony ground and the birds come down and get it, that's Satan, is my interpretation. When it falls on shallow soil, fruit did come up, okay? So fruit grew, but the sun came out, a trial in life, torched it, and they went away. Now, were they saved? I believe so, because fruit showed, okay? Life happened. Life came. The next one, again, life happens and thorns come in. The cares of the world, right? A lot of Christians are there. They're born again. They're saved. But the cares of the world got them entrapped. And then there are those who are saved and they're running towards Christ. Okay, they want to effectively work and grow. There's that group. So three of the four, in my opinion, the sower and the seed, three of them are saved. Three are saved. The first one aren't. They hear it and they go, nope, not for me. But if life comes from it, then they're saved. Now, does that mean that they're, you know, again, I'm going to preach on this next week. There's a difference between being a Christian and being saved. There's a difference. Not every Christian, not every saved person, rather, not every saved person is a Christian. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so like let's take 1 Corinthians, for example. The people at Corinth would be in the second and third seed. Yeah, they're growing. They're stunted right now. Yeah, they're saved. Yeah, not every Christian, not every believer will bear fruit. Doesn't mean they're not saved. So if you look at Corinth, they're saved because the letter is addressed to saved or unsaved people. Yeah, the saints, right? He's saying you are saved. Your body is the temple. So it's saved people sinning, right? They're not bearing, they're bearing worldly fruit, right? They're not bearing godly fruit at all. It's the opposite. So we don't, they're saved, but their growth is stunted. They're not bearing righteous fruit. Okay, so there's times of discipleship and being taught and helping. Okay, remember, these are adults being saved that are already pre-programmed in life, and they're false gods, how they do things, so it takes time to see righteous fruit come from that. Does that make sense? Yeah. So they're saved, and at some point, like everybody, there comes, it's a growing phase. Can you get out of the stony ground? Absolutely. Now, do you get re-saved? No. No, you just understand what God has for you. Remember, that's an Old Testament principle that Jesus is saying, to understand what growth looks like, right? It's an Old Testament principle. Okay, a parable. Now, when we have Jesus in us, he has some work to do, doesn't he? You actually now have a new nature. So a new nature now has to line up with God's will, right? And that's a process. That takes time. It takes being taught.
What about the part where if the plant bears good fruit, it will be
clipped and fire? Yeah, you know, there's times in the Bible where a saved person is living in sin and they want to be a part of the body. And what did Paul say? Let Satan have his way. Now, it's not saying they're not saved. If any man is called a brother, lives in sin, you have to what? Right. Absolutely. Yeah. That's not hell. It's not saying it's going to be, they're not bringing a lake of fire. You know, how many times have people have been through tough times and have prayed and got out of that? Right? I can speak for myself. I was born again when I was 9 years old. No, for a fact I was saved. I didn't ask Christ to save me again. I said, God, I am a Christian. I am sorry. Forgive me. And I was revived. Okay? Does that make sense? Yeah, Satan had his way with me. Right. So again, we have to understand that that's not hell. Yeah. That those are trials, tribulations. That's just, it's like my kids, right? Now, why are they my kids? Yeah, they're my kids because they're born from me, right? They're born from me. So if someone's born again in God's family, they cannot be unborn again. Once you're born into God's family, you're born into God's family. He isn't. You're not born in 1 second. You know, like that's what was hard for Nicodemus to say, to think, right? How can we be born again? Do we have to go in the mother's womb? He says, no, you're born of the Spirit. So it's not like God says, you're born of the Spirit, not born of the Spirit, you're born of the Spirit, not born of the Spirit, you're born of the Spirit, not born of the Spirit. He doesn't go back and forth. He doesn't do that, right? When you have the Spirit, the Bible says you're sealed. It's actually in Ephesians, to the day of redemption. Now, are there times of growth? Let's say one of my kids, I'll use myself. Was there a time when I went away? Absolutely. Drinking, drugs, okay? Satan was having his way with me. I came to a point to where I was on my knees. I'm going, what am I doing? I didn't cry out to God. I joined the military. I didn't even know you could cry out to God, right? I didn't know what that was. That wasn't even terminology that I was even taught. Was I saved? I was convicted every time I sinned. Every time I was convicted. I can only say it's burning in my heart. Now, when I sobered up and I said, okay, I was going to church and I was in basic training. I said, okay, I'm going to give the Bible and the Lord opportunity to teach me. And that's when it all changed. It was a slow process. And when I went to Iraq and came back, I said, I'm all in. Okay, so through life circumstances, through those trials, through the fire, I got brought out and I said, hey, and ever since the fire, I haven't looked back. Go ahead, John. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. Right, that's the refining process. That's what Paul teaches, what refining is. Yeah. Go ahead, Dave. Yeah, so, yeah. We got three. We got three of them right now. Yeah. Yeah.
But you're all trying to teach us the same thing. Love your fellow man. Love God. Let God love you. They're all trying to teach us the same thing.
Okay. So moving forward, what we notice. Go ahead, Julie. Exactly. Yep, that's really good. So there is a growing process. When we think of counseling, that's a worldly term we use for discipleship, right? So we know that in Isaiah, God is a wonderful counselor, right? The Holy Spirit gives counsel. Now, all counseling is, it's an appointed time where people who are undiscipled come to get discipled. Does that make sense? So we don't have marriage counseling. We have marriage discipling. And all marriage discipling is your priority on making Jesus first. Not your spouse. You don't do anything to get your spouse or anybody back. You do things because you do things Christ's way. Whether they come back or not. Right? It's Christ is first. And so it's counseling. It's understanding, okay, what's my position? What's my identity? Well, why am I here, right? It's going back to those basics to move forward in the Christian life. So a lot of times we want to deal with things this way, and that's not good. We always deal with things biblically between me and God, okay, as an individual. So good stuff. That's really good. From who, nobody? Yeah. So again, we walk. It's us taking our responsibility to walk. We put off the former way. Let's go to verse 22, and I'm almost done. We'll take two more minutes. Verse 22, that you put off the former way of life and the old nature, which is corrupt, according to deceitful lust. Verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new nature, which was created according to God in righteousness and true holiness. What does this fruit look like? Go over to 5, verse 9. 5:9, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is pleasing to the Lord. So Galatians 5:22, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, patience, faith, temperance, self-control. I have those through the Spirit. It's producing in me, showing what is pleasing to the Lord. With this coming out of me, it's showing that this is pleasing to God. Not my fellow man, not my kids or whatever, fill in the blank. But it's pleasing to God. And as things are pleasing to God, He'll take the work that He's doing through me, and He will bless it. Make sense? All right. So again, to kind of recap, there can be a pressure to misunderstand that we're a unified business or religion. I'm for religion. I'm for taking care of widows. I'm for taking care of the fatherless. And I'm for being unspotted from the world. James 1. Okay? And I'm also for individuals on their own, effectively working on their own time, so that when they come here, they're allowing God to use them to build this body up in unity, you know, together. Any questions on that before we go? Yeah. So if I just stay in the context of Ephesians 4, great question. Doctrine and unity are together, because we're not swayed by every wind of doctrine. Now, dogma is a worldly term we use to go like the best of the best. They didn't have the best of the best. Then their doctrine was the best of the best. So now we've kind of watered down what doctrine is. Like our doctrine is salvation by grace through faith, right? The shed blood of Christ. That's not going to change. That's our doctrine, okay? We believe when you're sealed the day of redemption. We believe in eternal security. That's a doctrine, right? So I don't fellowship personally with people that believe you have to be baptized to be saved. Now, am I nice to them? Do I have the fruit of the Spirit towards them? Yes, I do. But I don't fellowship with them, okay? There's nothing stable with you're saved, you're not saved, you're baptized to be saved. People that believe that you can lose your salvation, I don't fellowship with them. That's a doctrine that I don't fellowship with. Okay, so I stick with when you're saved, you're saved. These people who I fellowship with, okay, going out of my way to be involved with. Now, again, am I nice to them? You know, yes. Do I have a prayer request? Will I pray for them? Absolutely. But are we going to hang out and talk Bible? No, we're not. Yeah. That makes sense? Yeah. That's just me. You guys choose what you want to do. I tend to just lean more conservative to the right on they have doctrine here. And we see biblically what doctrine is. That's what I'm going to stand on. So, good stuff. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for being good to us today. We are grateful and thankful for your love, your grace, and your mercy. We ask now that you just take these truths, that we may apply them to our life, and that we can be conformed to your Son's image. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.